Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Everyone, welcome to the Bowhunter Planet Podcast. Tonight, myself, Tim Mazzarano, with Dave Thomas. And we're joined here, actually. We've talked to Camp Chef before and absolutely loved the conversations. Wanted to have him back on. Ryan from Camp Chef is joining us tonight. Ryan, how's it going, man?
It's going good. I'll tell you, bow hunting season started here in Utah last week. And it's been good. It's good. I got out for a few good hunts, spent a few nights up there. I would have got out a little more, but I was just telling you I was sick. But yeah, and I love it. I love this time of year. And it's perfect. It's the best time of year to get out.
Were you chasing on muleys?
Yeah, and mule deer. Elk is open too for whatever other areas. I don't have an elk tag until October, but I'll just confess here. I got a story for you guys, man.
So he had an itch, and he's like, something I gotta talk about. It's yo, I can tell.
So here's what was going on. We're up here hunting. We know we've got good bucks in the area. We've had trail cameras up there. We pull them down before the season. And we've hunted this area for years and years. And anyways, we're seeing good bucks. We're getting on some stuff. Couldn't get whatever happened. And anyway, I come that morning, our third or fourth morning, we're going through some trees and we see some bucks in there, but just nothing ever happened. I was like 60 yards, but they're moving and then they pop out on the ridge. And where we're hunting is like 8,500 feet to 9,000 feet, maybe 9,200 top. So we're up there. Anyway, so I'm like, well, me and my buddy were like, well, that kind of was a bust and it's still early. I'm like, well, let's go work this ridge and check out this other spot. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, if we're going to go do that, I'm going to hop over here and just check this one little spot where these, there's some beds and there's some good feeding area. So I'm just going to go peek out. So I cruise over there and I peek over the cliff and actually I didn't really peek over because I wasn't expecting anything. I'm walking over and there's beds right under this cliff. And I'm checking him and I go and I peek and I'm like, oh shoot. And I step back and I'm like, okay, he's there, man. He's there. Like, this is like the hunting gods have answered my prayers. So I'm like, perfect. I range him. I'm like, done. Put on my 20 yard pin. This is lights out. And he's right under the cliff bedded. This buck is. And I didn't look at what buck it was because we knew some of the bucks in the area. Because I could see his eye, right? I could see his face and his eye as he was looking across the mountain, like parallel with the cliff.
Gotcha.
So I didn't take the time to look at him. And because I'm like, I just want a good buck. And I know a good mature buck. And I could tell he's a good mature buck. So anyways, knock an arrow. I draw back. And as I draw back, I peek over. And I'm like, perfect. Okay, just put your 20-yard pin on it. Let it rip. Put my 20-yard pin on it. I'm like, dude, he is so lights out. I let it rip. And it shoots over him.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, and he gets up and he runs off. Where's my phone? He gets up and he runs off. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, what happened? You know, I'm like really frustrated, kind of sad. And as he goes around the bowl, I pull up my binoculars and get a good look at him. And I'm like, dude, that's the buck. I'm like, that's the guy with the kinked antler that we've been chasing. I've got a trail cam picture of him. And he's like this 180 plus inch muley on this unit, which is fantastic. And if I have this picture of him, I'll show you. And anyway, he goes running across. This is the
bus. Oh my god.
And he's got
you, sure you
cool
want to tell this story?
His main beam like kinks like that. It drops down. He's really cool.
My stomach hurts now just thinking about it.
And I see that it's him and I'm like, "No." I'm like, "That was him." Oh, still right now I want to throw up, you guys. This wasn't even a week ago. And so I'm going back hiking over to my buddy. I'm like, "What do I do? Like, how do I tell him what happened?" And I'm just like,
"You don't."
Yeah, I know. I thought about it. I'm like, maybe I don't say anything.
Depends on the podcast. That's how.
Yo, so I get to him. No, I'm almost over to where he's at. And I'm like, "Just tell him what happened. Just tell him the truth. Tell him you pull up on this deer, you put it on the bottom pin and you let it rip." And then I was like, You put it on the bottom pin.
Oh no.
And I'm reading my thoughts and I'm like, "You eat."
Oh my gosh.
I put them on my 60. I have a five pin and I put it on my 60 yard pin. I don't know how many hundreds or thousands of times I've shot that bow. And every time I shoot, I count the pins 20, 30, 40, you know, 20, yep. 30, 40, 50. Dude,
you got
I don't
buck
know why.
Fevered, my friend.
Buck Ladies fevered. And gentlemen, buck fever.
So I get over to him, and
especially when it's that easy, you're like, "Oh, pop shot!"
Dude, it was. Hey, like I've missed deer before, but it's like a rush shot, or it's tough. You know, there's all these situations, dude. This was handed to me,
no doubt.
Like it was. You couldn't ask for a better situation. He was
laying down too.
Down. A great shot at his vitals. The wind was perfect.
Man.
It was like amazing.
Oh. And, I hope we're laughing with you at this point, you know?
No, dude. So when I got to my friend, he just walks up to me. He doesn't know. He's like, "Well, yeah, you know, whatever." I had a come apart. I was like Happy Gilmore, like going nuts. I was so frustrated.
Anyways. Man,
that's insane.
It happens. I mean, that's how easy it is to miss a shot, right? I mean, it is not all the practice in the world does not put you in a firing position when it's real world time to act.
Well, and that's the thing is like, and anybody listening to this, you 100% have the right to make fun of me and be like, you screwed it up, because I did 100%. I did. I mean, there's nothing. But the funny thing, the interesting thing to me is I could see that using the wrong pin if it's a quick shot or if it's off. No, like I had
the time. All the time.
But it was just buck fever, man.
Yeah. Well, right now
I'm like amped up.
You bring up a good point, though, is that, you know, we talked to, you know, obviously a lot of hunters and hunters ourselves. And, you know, a lot of people get away from those five pins, partly because of that, you know, partly because the less you can screw up, the better. Now, some people say five pins, I can actually screw up less because I have more yardage ranges, right, deal with in that area. But others are like, "No, I want to know what pins are what, and then just fire." You know, I know plenty of people that shoot a one pin.
Yeah.
30 yards and aim low or aim high. So
If I would have had a single pin slider, it would have been different because I would have adjusted for that.
Right, right. Like an HHA or something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. A two pin slider, I still could have made the same mistake, but it probably would have been fine at that distance. I don't know. I mean,
so, you know, you got to look back and what have you learned from this?
I've learned a lot of things.
you learn a lot about yourself and how to cope with disappointment.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel you, man. 2 years ago, I missed a 150 inch deer with a crossbow, and it was it ran out in front of me and it just stopped like in front of me. I would suggest maybe 50, 60 yards, but I had forgotten to bring my rangefinder. So the whole shot was based on without a rangefinder. It was a guess. And I guessed wrong as I went over the back. No, actually, I went low. Now I think about it, I went low. And that was depressing. So I feel your pain. See,
Dave, but that's a – so I've had misses. That's understandable. You didn't have a rangefinder.
I agree. No, yeah, it was definitely a harder shot than a pot shot 20 yards with the height advantage. But it happens, man. We had my cousin Brian, who's on the show a lot and does a lot of hunts with us. He had just got this Matthew switchback. This is years ago when it first came out, and he was hunting and he was so pumped about this bow. And he gets this beautiful buck comes in, and we're on state land. This beautiful buck comes in. He's at 10 yards. He puts it on it. And he's like, right over the back. And he's like, what?
10 yards.
What? And he's just like, he's like, I don't know what happened, man. Like, I don't know what happened. I put it on the heart and fired. And it went over the back. And I'm like, that's weird. So we're talking about it. And I think what happened, this is a couple years back now, right? But I think what happened is that he missed again, like the next day or something happened, another deer. And he's like, dude, what is going on? And so we ended up going up to the pro shop in the local area, and it turned out that the pro shop he bought the bow from told him that, you know, people don't use kisser buttons no more. And so he had removed the kisser button, but he never practiced angles without it. So when he fired, he wasn't anchoring and then turning. He went like this. And so he brought it up, you know, or brought it down, whatever. He did something wrong here. And so he wasn't anchoring and then maneuvering, because I don't use a kisser button either. So, but I go back, I anchor, then I make my moves however I need to go as long as I'm anchored. But he didn't anchor. Yeah. So then he learned. So he put a kisser button back on. He still has one on to this day. So, Ryan, tell us about your setup, man. Like, what were you using? What kind of bow are you shooting? Like,
I shoot a Prime gear? Logic.
Nice.
Yeah. And it's a great, awesome bow. I've loved it, had it for. When did they come out with that? I don't know, a few years ago. Anyway, yeah, it's a good setup, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been great. Killed a cool Colorado buck last year.
What'd you shoot before that?
Just like a old. So before that, I wasn't an archery hunter. Okay. So a friend lent me. He had an old Browning bow.
Oh yeah, okay.
That when Browning made some for, I don't know who was making them. Pretty sure it's a private label thing, but So I used that for a year, and then I'm like, all right, I got to get into bow hunting. So then I went out and got that set up. So this is probably my fourth year bow hunting, I think. Something like that.
Oh man, you got plenty of mistakes ahead of you then.
Well, yeah, and I've had some great opportunities. I've spent a lot of time bow hunting as it's needed. And I hunted Colorado the past couple years, which is awesome. And I killed one there last year and then spent a bunch of time here locally bow hunting, and had some great opportunities, just haven't made it happen here. So
yeah, we're getting excited here. The R season doesn't open up as early as your guys does. You know, cause we're whitetail over in this neck of the woods, but, we open up, with a youth hunt in a little bit over a week here. So we're getting excited to get our kids out for that weekend and seeing what they can do. And then a couple weeks after that, our opener is October 1st. Yeah. So that'll be, it's an exciting time, man. I mean, you know, where it really starts to sink in for me this time of year is when it starts to get a little bit cooler out.
Yeah.
When those temperatures start to drop a little bit, that's where I start to get excited. So,
and that's how it is up there where we're at. The other day when I got out of my truck, it was 42 degrees, I think, up there. So down here,
walking weather, when you're walking out in those woods, man.
Yeah, it's great. And it's, man, I just love it up there. It's just, there's not very many opportunities in your life or for today's society, today's people, to get out and be somewhere where it's just quiet, like quiet.
You got that right.
You know, when it was eerily quiet the other day. There's no wind. The birds were quiet. When can you ever just sit and hear nothing?
Yeah.
I don't get that in my own house. I get kids or the AC's running or, you know, some loud truck driving by or something. I don't know, but you never get just absolutely silent. It's pretty nice to get out,
Yeah, no, same here. It's, I mean, that's part of the draw isn't always the hunt, which don't get me wrong, is awesome. Part of it is just being out in the woods, chilling, yeah, hanging out, seeing things that you would never see sitting inside four walls, you know?
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about fun. How far are you guys from Salt Lake City?
I can't talk too much about that now that I told you my experience. No, just kidding. I'm an hour and a half north of Salt Lake City. We're in Logan, Utah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I was just saying that because I'm surprised you don't shoot a Hoyt, since Hoyt's right there.
Yeah. No, Hoyt's a great company. And there,
Hoyt and Badlands. You guys got Badlands, Hoyt, Easton, all right in there. It's funny.
There's a lot of outdoor brands here in Utah.
Oh, Sever too. I forgot. I think Easton owns
Sever. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sever, yeah. Broadheads. Yeah, there's a lot. When I was there, we went there to Alta. I pronounced it wrong. How do you pronounce Alta? Is Alt Alta? Alta? Does that sound
Alta?
Right?
Yeah, Alta. Like the ski resort.
I got corrected. I got corrected by the Easton guys. He's like, it's Alta, not Alta. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, when I was there for a wedding a couple years ago, I had stopped in at Hoyt and Badlands, which was a lot of fun to go there and see them. And I went to the In-N-Out Burger, which we don't have here in Michigan. So that was exciting to try it. It was a little salty, but it was okay.
In-N-Out's a classic. No, Utah's a great place. So yeah, Camp Chef's located about an hour north of Salt Lake City, just south of the Idaho border. A little town called Logan, Utah. It's a great place to live. It's a great place to be.
Yeah, it looks great. It's beautiful. Awesome. The whole area is so nice. Utah was great. I really enjoyed my time there. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's a nice state to be in.
Yeah. So what's new over at Camp Chef these days?
Yeah, what we got going on over there?
There's a lot going on, man. We've got a lot of fun stuff. Well, go ahead.
No, I was saying you guys have been busy. I mean, probably selling out left and right. It's been a crazy couple of years here of product sales for everybody. It's been insane.
Yeah, you know, the whole 2020 thing was interesting. Back when the one day that everybody decided to shut everything down and go home, it was interesting. Like, things like immediately stopped, right? Obviously, because the world literally stopped. And then give that a week and people were like, well, I'm going to be hunkered down. Restaurants are closed.
Yeah.
So people were like, I'm going to learn how to cook barbecue, or I've got to get my barbecue fixed, or whatever. And so our patio style of grills immediately picked up and started selling. Like a lot, like huge demand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar with Camp Chef, we make products for home, for grilling at home on the back patio type stuff. And then we also make it for campsite, trailer, hunt camp, whatever type stuff. So backcountry, back patio. And our backcountry or our campsite of things basically stopped and stayed really slow for a while. Meanwhile, that patio stuff was just like boom and took off immediately. And then everybody was home for a little while. They canceled their cruises. They canceled their vacations, you know, whatever. And then they went out and started buying RVs. They started booking campsites, you know, everybody's like,
they did.
Yeah. Everybody's like, well, I'm not going on my cruise, but I'm not going to say no to vacation. So we're going camping this year.
Yeah.
And then about May, which was later than normal for us, stuff just picked up right up, like May, June, everything just shot right up for camping. It was kind of interesting to watch those different trends and people going home and then deciding, all right, I got to get out and go camping. And
I can personally attest to that. You know, me and my family, we've been camping, dedicated campers, for 10 years now, where we'll go out, you know, between 20 to 40 days, usually on average 30 days a year. You know, we'll be out weekend warrior type of stuff. But we usually, for the last 4 years, do a 2-week camping trip, either, you know, cross country or, you know, the last couple of years staying in Michigan just with all the COVID stuff going on. And it's been absolutely crazy. And I mean crazy to see the shift. In 2 years ago, if I wanted to go camping, I could book a campsite month, couple weeks out in advance. You might not get your best spot that you want, but there's something available. This year, you can't book a campsite during the months of June through September when kids go back to school, unless you get it the first day that it's available and all the good spots are taken up within the first. It's like buying tickets to a concert. You know, it's sold out. You got to get on there right when they open up for sales. And if you're not one of the first 100 people, you're done. I mean, you're just not getting it.
And so, people are reselling them. They're buying them in scabs or everything. They're reselling them for more money.
Yeah. And so it's been crazy to watch that all evolve. You know, which is a good thing, bad for me, you know, but it's hard to go exactly where you want to, because we're procrastinators in my family. You know, we don't book 6 months out. We're like, yeah, let's go. We figure it out like 3 months in advance, and 3 months in advance is way too short of a time frame now to do it. But so long story short, all that happens, you know, hard to book campsites and all that stuff. But I got my Pursuit 20, man. And when we go out camping, that Pursuit 20 comes out with me. I love that. Absolutely love that thing. I've done briskets, fish, you know, you name burgers, you name it. I'm a huge Pellet Grill fan, and that thing is perfect, portable and perfect for taking out when, you know, just like you're saying, camping, taking. In fact, I'm leaving this weekend. We rented a house in northern Michigan, and it's already packed up in my truck waiting for us to leave on Thursday. So it's quite the cool little piece of equipment there.
Nice. Yeah, it's cool, and it's great. That's one of the things I really like about Camp Chef is the diversity of. So I'm getting ahead of my thought here. One of the great things about camping is no matter what your camp looks like, you know, I'm guessing you're running an RV.
Yeah. I got a tow behind.
Trailer. Yep. You know, whatever your camp looks like, you can do awesome food. You know, and depending on what you're doing too, like when I was up bow hunting this last week, I didn't eat very well. I mean, I ate to survive because I'm hunting. But I'll tell you, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, I was in Idaho. We did this pack trip in Idaho. We took these llamas up, and the goal of the trip was to go fishing, hang out, and eat good food. And it was the funnest trip I've ever had. Because there's no pressure to get out and to be in your tree stand at, you know, 6:30 or whatever. Like, you just got to go out and have fun and we made some of the best food ever. It was awesome. And, you know, or you can have a big, like a big plush camp with a trailer or a cat, whatever. And you can take one of those portable pellet grills, and you're doing a bunch of other stuff in it. And you can cook some great food with just a little bit of planning. And you know, oftentimes, in fact, this happened when we did the Idaho trip. I had the menu kind of made. I had in my mind what we were doing. And then we're eating dinner one night, and my wife just made some pasta. It was like a brown, but with a brown butter sauce. And we're eating, doing the stuff. And I'm like, hey, how did you do this? She tells me. And I'm like, that's pretty good. I'm making that in camp next week. So I threw a New York strip into the menu. And
nice.
And we did this pasta with the New York strip and some veggies. And it was so good.
So did you reverse sear it, or did you just do it at high temp?
We just so in our camp we just had a stove. We had two Camp Chef camp stoves.
Yep.
Smaller ones, smaller versions. We had our Everest and our Mountaineer. And so we seared the steaks on cast iron.
Awesome.
And then once we got a good sear on it, you just turn the temp down and then watched it till it hit. I packed a thermometer with me because I knew I was doing those and I'm particular, but once they hit like 125, we pulled them and they were really good. Let them
sit for a couple of those juices come back out and there you go, right?
But when I'm cooking at home, whether I'm doing like elk steaks or beef steaks, you know, I'll do the reverse sear method. For sure, hands down, that always gives me really good results. And I don't know, once I find something I like, I usually stick with it. So
yeah, and you're right about the versatility, because you know, we cook some really good meals, but then we cook some really cheap meals. But you can cook those cheap meals good. And I'll give you a perfect example. Like when we're camping, like, you know, we try to bring food that we can cook, but we're busy during the day. Sometimes we'll go out sightseeing and do so. And so you got to make those quick dinners. And one of the things that we routinely do, and it's absolutely amazing, is we'll go out and we'll buy microwavable pizzas, but we'll cook them on the pellet grill. So we did that. You know, you buy those French bread pizzas. They're like $1 a piece. Yeah. You know, they seem cheap. Throw that on the pellet grill for 20 minutes. Absolutely perfect. Wow. Absolutely perfect. So, I mean, like you said, diversity, just being able to take it with you is awesome. You know, whether that's a hunt camp, whether that's camping, all that kind of stuff. But then for those bigger things where you're doing at home and you have a family or your in-laws or whatever coming over, you got your bigger sizes to choose from that you can cook for virtually an army, which is great.
One of the things we did in Idaho that I really liked is I knew that we were going to be out. I knew that one of the days, because there are some other lakes we were going to hike to and all this. I thought, you know what? There's going to be a night where we come back. It's dark by the time we get back, or it's rainy or whatever. And we're just tired. Like, we don't even care what we eat. Just get me some warm food. And I knew that was going to happen at some point. So I smoked some pulled pork here at home. It was awesome, by the way, one of the better pork butts I've ever done. Dropped it in a vac seal bag. And a little tip, if you're going to pre-make pulled pork or any meats for that matter and vac seal them and do what I'm doing, make sure you get all the fats in there or let it cool. Because one of the challenges is you put this hot pulled pork in and that fat is liquid, and then you vac seal it and it pulls it all out. So then when you reheat it, it's dry because you pulled all that fat out. So I usually try to cool it, get it to like room temperature to where that fat starts to get a little more solid, then put it in your vac seal bag, vac seal it, freeze it. And then it becomes just an ice block, right? Keep it in your cooler, which is nice, 'cause now you've got, it's like an ice block in your cooler.
Yep.
Anyway, and then it's pretty ready to go. Like, so we got to camp one day and it was a storm was coming. So we're like, let's just bust out some food. Within 10, I mean, I literally opened up the pork, dropped it in a pot, heated it up, had some slaw that was, I pre-made the dressing. So opened that up, tossed the dressing in, and then I had buns, pickles, chips ready to go. Honestly, within 15 minutes, we had like a really good traditional pulled pork barbecue meal.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. And I did that here at home on the pellet grill. And it was maybe one of my favorite meals that we did up there, but it was no work. I mean, it's, you just put it in the pot and heat it up, you know?
Love it.
Yeah. We'll be there soon. Hunt season around the corner for us, but.
We already talking about the menus for that. So we're going to maybe have to add some things in there.
See, the nice thing about having a, right now, it doesn't get, at least where I am, it doesn't get dark till 8:30 to 9 o'clock. And then by the time you get back to camp, you're just like, oh, I'm ready to go to bed, but I got to cook. The later season hunts is nice because it gets dark at 7 o'clock.
Yeah. You can actually come back and spend time cooking.
Chill and cook. Yeah. Yeah.
That's always a lot of fun. I know we've been spending a lot of time with the Pro 90X, my family and me, for camping. And, you know, that system is so smart in so many ways. It's pretty funny because what we just been doing is using two of the sides with a 16-inch flat top and just put it on there, cook on it. But then while we're doing that, we can then boil stuff on the other burner, which is so helpful, right? Because you can do two things at once. So you got something boiling while you're cooking something on the right. And then another cool thing we've been doing too, and every time we do this, we've been doing it every time, is we take these foil packs, they call them. So you take a foil and you pre-do a lot of the stuff at home and you pack it, and then you get there and everybody can take what they want. It's almost like going to Chipotle or whatever, and they add whatever you want on this packet. You put some oil and you close it all up, double wrap it, and you can put it literally right on the burners and just turn on low, and it'll actually cook. The oil inside will start to boil and you keep flipping them. It's amazing. And then when you pull it out, you're just like, oh my God, it's just like so fresh and so good. But yeah, that's been really helpful, having the three burners, I think, while you're camping, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
So Ryan, what's been your top sellers?
Everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, the past couple of years, if we have it, you know, well, yeah, it'll be a top seller. You know, there's a few staple items.
That's the packet opening. The neighbor kid was like, oh, I'm gonna.
So you just have a whole mix of food in there.
Whatever you want. Yeah. There's like sausage, chicken, beef, steak, arachera. And then you just throw it all in this packet with broccoli, fresh broccoli. Everything's raw. And you put everything in there and it's just cooked. Except for rice. You'll have the rice pre-done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I even did like jalapenos, you know. I don't know if it's going to be possible to see this thing. But
yeah.
Zoom in a little bit maybe there. That's actually arachera, which was so good. Oh my God. Yeah, it's a really good meal.
You know, some of our most popular items, the Woodwind Grill, which is a wood pellet grill, is very popular for good reason. It's a great grill. I'd highly recommend it. Well, one of the cool things about Camp Chef pellet grills too is you just mentioned your Pro 90X and how you use the burner for certain things, and you know, there's different accessories you can put on those burners. You can put a griddle or a pizza oven, like an artisan oven. You can put a grill on there with grill grates, or just a cast iron pan. The Camp Chef pellet grills have what we call the Sidekick, and it's a powerful burner, a 30,000 BTU burner, and it comes in two versions. There's a Sidekick flat top, so it comes with a griddle, just a flat top grill. You can do pancakes, tacos, all sorts of different stuff. And then there is the Sidekick sear. So this one comes with your grill box. So this one, you're grilling burgers or getting nice grill marks on there, dogs, whatever. But then those accessories on top, you can change out. So you can put the artisan oven on, or if you bought the one with the flat top, you can put the grill on. It's this whole system, and that attaches right to your pellet grill. So Tim, earlier you asked me, did you reverse sear? And that's the really neat thing, is you can smoke your beefsteak and then pull it off and sear it right there, throw it in the cast iron pan. Or like,
that's awesome.
You know, one of my favorites for like Super Bowl or whatever, it's kind of a go-to for Super Bowl, is my hot wings.
Yeah.
And I love to do just a classic hot wing with like Frank's Red Hot or whatever. And I'll smoke them, the wings. And then once they hit almost temperature, I'll drop them in a fry pot right next to that burner, fry them. And then that gets the nice, like
crunchy, crispy, good
texture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I personally don't really love the smoked. I like the flavor, but like smoked chicken sometimes can be rubbery.
Yeah.
Drop it in there and fry them to finish them off. Gets a really good texture. And then, you know, you can toss it in the sauce. And then if people haven't showed up to game day yet, you can put them back in the smoker just to hold them and keep them warm for a while.
Yeah. Anyway, so those aluminum pot sets that you have that I'm looking at with like the strainers on the inside, you can fry in those.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. We have a cast iron one and an aluminum one, you know, just any little fryer, or, you know, with the basket.
Yeah. That's
or
what
you
I'm
can
looking
get
at.
Like
yeah, that's
the,
cool.
the like big spoon thing. I don't know what it's called. And fry stuff that way. Anyway, it's really nice having that whole, the Sidekick is awesome. And by the way, the other thing too is burgers. If you have a flat, if you want to do burgers, there's no better way to do a burger than on a flat top. Like you do a smash burgers,
yes.
And a good, like nice thin patty. And if you want it thick, then you just double up patties, triple, whatever. And man, a smash burger is so good because it gets that nice crust on there, which it's kind of interesting. It gets all scientific or whatever. It's the Maillard reaction. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
You would fool me even if you were wrong. So
So basically it's you want it when you're cooking, depending on what you're cooking, right? It's called I don't know how to pronounce it. Maillard reaction. I'll just say that. It's basically when you change the chemical compound of the food with the fats and the sugars. So for example, an easy example, creme brulee, right? It's this nice, comes in the little cup or whatever, and then they torch the top and it crystallizes those sugars. Well, that's the Maillard reaction, crystallizing those sugars. It's changing the color, changing the physical makeup of that. And same thing when you sear a steak. You're going from a red steak and you sear it, and then you start to get this more mahogany, dark brown, and even black coloration on there. And that's the Maillard reaction at work. It's the same thing when you're baking bread or making toast, that change of color. And so when you're doing these smash burgers, you get a lot of that going on, and you get the all that, when that's smashed on the griddle, it just starts changing those colors and those fats start coming out. It's really good.
Yeah, then you got the bacon sizzling next to it, right? Throw some bacon on top of that bad boy, and
I saw one where they took the burger, they smashed it before they cooked it, then they smeared it in mustard before they put it on the onions and before they cooked it.
Ooh.
It was like mustard was layered both sides of it. Interesting. It looks so good. Yeah. It was on TikTok.
A friend of mine, if you want to learn about cooking burgers, look up, his name's George Motes. Anyways, he's traveled all over the country and studied cooking burgers, been to all these different burger joints everywhere. And he does this Oklahoma fried onion burger.
Ooh.
Phenomenal. Mm. Right. And it's a smash burger. So he's using a griddle, smashing the burger on there. Excellent.
My family, we got into doing, I don't know if you've heard of them, but brat burgers.
Yeah.
So, brat sausage meat, but not in the cases. You make actual burger patties.
Oh, yeah.
Cook it up like a burger. And then we make this mustard zip sauce. Kind of, so mustard and honey and vinegar and a whole bunch of other spices and stuff like that with some grilled onions on top. Ooh, that's some good stuff.
Oh my God.
I love those brat burgers.
If you're hungry, do not watch the Camp Chef.
I know. We could go all day talking about this.
Don't watch the TikTok from Camp Chef if you're hungry, because oh my gosh. Dude, I think I found your burgers you're talking about. Is this the guy on here? Is he on here for you guys? This guy cooking all the burgers?
He's in-house chef.
Oh, okay. He's so good.
George is a great guy. Look him up on YouTube or whatever.
Oh my God. He's making these tacos. Oh, I'm so hungry right now.
So is there anything, and I think we talked about this last time, but is there anything you guys don't have that you're looking to add to your lineup? Because I find it hard.
Yeah, this is a pretty big
on your guys' catalog of everything to find something that you guys actually don't have.
You know, that's a good question. There is a lot of stuff that we have, and we've got a lot of different renditions of the big things that we do have: pellet grills, flat top grills. Both these are for your like home, right? Pellet grills and flat top grills are awesome. And then, you know, for camp, we've got all different sorts of stoves and many different sizes and variations for your cooking for 20 people out of an RV, or you got two people and you went in on an ATV somewhere or pack horse, you know, like a smaller type thing, you know. We got a whole Dutch ovens, the cast iron cookware, all that kind of stuff. So,
but wait,
it's a awesome big lineup.
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, what's going on for 22? You guys gonna launch some stuff, or what's your guys' thoughts?
Yeah, we do have some new products in development. I wish I could talk about them a little bit more, but they're just buttoning up a few things. And come next year, in the next 6 months or so, let's see, what time of year is it? Maybe a little more than 6 months. We'll be able to talk a little more about it. But there's some fun stuff that I get excited about. It's funny because with my experience at Camp Chef, we see things, products are in development for a long time, right? For years. And so, you know, I get a grill. I'm like, oh, I love this grill. All right, this is awesome. This happened with me. And then I'm like, you know what? I see all the new grills and I'm like, okay, I'm going to upgrade. And as soon as that becomes available, I'm going to get that grill. And then that grill becomes available, but then we're already in the development of our next one. I'm like, well, mine's still working good. So I'm going to wait till that other one comes out. And then that other one comes out and you're like, we're on to the next one. I'm like, oh, well, you know, okay, I'm going to wait. I'm going to, that's the one I want to get. And then finally, I don't know. There's always stuff in the works and you're always seeing it. So I'm like, anyway, so I did upgrade my grill. I do have the woodwind. I do have the one right now, but the ones that are in the process right now, I'm very, very excited about. I used one a few weeks ago, smoked some salmon on it and it was phenomenal.
So are you doing a lot of, mix? Are you doing like gun hunting and bow hunting? Are you doing a little bit of both or?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I'll do archery, muzzleloader, and rifle.
Nice. I'm asking because of of your parent companies has so many gun brands in there, and I'm just wondering, like, do you work with some of these guys to help get ammo? Because it's so hard to get
ammo. Dude, this ammo thing. Yeah, that's a great question. And as an employee of Vista Outdoor, part of the Vista Outdoor, I mean, even employees, it's tough to get ammo.
Oh, I'm sure. You guys, it's amazing though. In fact,
most of the time, that gets prioritized.
I'm sure. Yeah.
To the dealer or the retailer or whatever. And yeah. It's easy for us to get orders in as employees under a normal market, because they have excess ammo and they're like, okay, now we can fulfill these employee orders. But
yeah, no, makes
sense. I think that's how it works. I'm not totally sure, but all I know is, yeah, it's tough right now. Luckily I did stock up when I could.
Yeah. Things are not normal. That's for sure.
Have like, there's like 1, 2, 3, 4 ammo brands on here. It's maybe more. I don't know. That's just the ones I saw. It's really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. There's it's quite a portfolio.
Then there's Camp Chef.
Yep. And then Camp Chef. And Vista Outdoors, actually, it's been a really good company. I was with Camp Chef.
So impressive. Seeing all these brands. We were
privately held. And then I was part of the transition into Vista Outdoor. And there's a lot of unknowns, you know, when stuff like that happens, you know, we've all seen it.
Yeah.
But we didn't lose any employees. We didn't change locations.
That's great.
It was kind of just like, hey, let's keep doing what we're doing, keep making great products. It's been really good in that regard. A few changes on that. Well, now that's me, you know, I think on the finance side, it's a publicly traded company now. So there's a lot more kind of BS stuff.
Mm-hmm. The stuff, you know, Tim deals with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, the banker type stuff account.
Yeah. I really don't have to deal with much of that, but it's like, oh, this computer is worth this much, so we've got to keep this on the charts or whatever. I don't know.
You know, you got to watch your P&Es and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. But it, other than that, you know, Vista Outdoor has been a great company to work with. They've got a great portfolio of brands that they're awesome guys. And they're a good company. So,
yeah, very cool, man. All right. Well, hey, you know, it's always fun talking with you, and I can't wait to talk with you again later in the year here so we can talk about what happened in these hunts, even for us too. I got a bear hunt come up next week, so there's going to be a lot of things going on. And the one good part of this that we all will share is that we're all going to eat well at our camps because of Camp Chef. That's for sure.
Well, I can also promise you I'll probably have a story about missing a deer as well.
For sure. That's definitely.
I hope so, Tim.
Tim might shoot himself in the foot with a broadhead. Who knows? I can
share my pain.
Thank you guys for watching the podcast. We appreciate it. Make sure you check out Camp Chef online. Get yourself a pellet grill. Get yourself a smoke grill. I mean, it is amazing. The food is so good when you use these things. And I think people don't realize how cool these systems are with having the ability to take off something and put something different back on. So take off a grill and put on a flat top, or take that off, put a pizza oven. It's a really, really cool thing. So check it out online. You guys get some time. We'll see you next time. Thanks for watching.